Hello and welcome to our podcast called Wormhole Pinball Presents. My name is Jamie Birchall, and today I am joined by Pinball Profile's own Jeff Teolis. Hey, Jeff, how are you? Thank you so much for joining me here.
Jamie, nice to see you once again. The place looks awesome.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Well, welcome to the Wormhole virtually. I appreciate it so much. First time I met you, I doubt you remember this, but it was 2022 TPF.
I remember.
And we were commentating together. This is my second stream I ever did. Second major tournament I ever did. A little nervous. And in walks a guy named Steve Ritchie. And you were kind enough, because you had already interviewed Steve, but you were kind enough to let me kind of run that interview. And I really appreciate that. That was a really great moment for me. Thank you, sir.
Well, Steve, you know, it's actually on my wall here. I'm going to pull it off here. The very first Pinball Profile interview I ever did was Steve Ritchie, right?
Yeah.
So that was November of 2016.
Wow.
And I've always been a Steve Ritchie fan. And so luckily through podcasting and everything else, I've been able to talk to Steve many, many times. He's a wonderful friend, and I love his work. And so when he walked in with Ed Vanderveen, you know, I said, hi, but I thought that'd be pretty cool to get him on the stream. And I realized that everybody sitting there, I can't remember if Sunshine Bond was there too, or
Sunshine was there. It was me, you, and Sunshine.
And I thought, I'm going to give up my seat, because that would be a big thrill for you, Jamie, here on your second broadcast for Sunshine, and just to talk to the king. And yeah, that was cool.
Oh man, I never told you that it meant a lot, and it really did. So thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
Speaking of TPF, are you going this year?
Right now I'm not. It's a busy year for me calendar wise. I'm spending an extended vacation in California in June with my family for the IFPA 19 World Championships. Pinburg is now this year.
Yeah.
Spending a couple times in Chicago. It's just, you know, you look at how many vacation days you have. You know,
right.
I still have a job in radio, 30 years in fact this year, and I just thought, okay, that something's got to go. And it's not that I don't love TPF, because I absolutely do, and in fact the work that Ed and Kim have done over the years just better and better. Part of it was, how are you going to top last year? There were seven new games, and it had nothing to do with that. It was just really calendar wise I don't know if I can squeeze it in, and I still might come. I say that, but now
you've got a seat next to me, at least in the semifinals at the Classics and Wizards. I have a few people I've already promised the finals to, and they're going to hold me to it. But
yeah,
I would
sure
get you on the mic if you do come down, and we always have good banter together. I really appreciate it. So
yeah, you do a great job.
Well, thanks. We are streaming. Yeah, we're going to stream the Classics, Wizards, and Women's at TPF. And then this weekend, we've got our Texas State Championship, which we're going to do here at the Wormhole. Where are you going?
So in Ontario, Canada, it's being held at Adam Becker's Press Start Arcade. Adam is the Ontario rep, and he's got a wonderful location there, all mix of old, mid, new games. Dedicated pinball area. In fact, the IFPA 15, that's what it was. IFPA 15, 4 years ago, including the COVID years, the World Championships were held there. So certainly top-notch games. And he's hosted, I'd say, 7 of the last 8 years, maybe 6 of the last.
Oh, wow.
And it's, you know, it's not central for everyone. I mean, it's not as big as Texas. Texas is massive. So, you know, it'd be nice if maybe we could rotate a little bit, but you can't argue that the collection isn't wonderful. But you probably rotate in Texas too, don't you? You've got Dallas, you've got Austin and Houston, right?
Yeah, Dallas, Austin, Houston, and I think San Antonio is going to get into the mix, because they've got a really great place called What's Brewing that they might try to host there. But walk me through, you know, I have other things I want to talk to you about today, of course, but walk me through the Canadian qualification process, because I'm pretty familiar with the U.S. qualification from a state and then to District 82.
Yeah, exactly the same thing as far as, you know, the top 24 were considered a super state or super province here in Canada. So top 24 get in based on your best 20 results over the last calendar year in events in Ontario. And top 8 would get a bye. You know, a dollar comes out of every tournament in Ontario and goes to that NACS pool. And I think the states and provincials get 70%, 25% go to the nationals, which will be at District 82, as you mentioned, and then
Right.
at five's admin. So if you're wondering where your dollars go, it basically goes back to the players in this format. So exact same as Texas and every other state and province. So the winner will, the Ontarios will get an invite to go to District 82 for the nationals in March.
Awesome. And where's the Worlds this year? Do you know?
Yeah, that's my extended vacation in California. Jim Belsito, who just ran a wonderful tournament along with Jay Collins and Carl D'Angelo at Indisc. Jim has, much like Adam, built Prestart Arcade, built a facility on his home location. Jim is one of the biggest operators in probably the United States, but certainly in California. He has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of games. So he's got, for the World Championships, you don't need hundreds and hundreds. You probably need about 60 reliable games, maybe even a little less. And he's built a facility to host that. And so that's in, I can't remember the name of the city. It starts with an M in California, but somewhere kind of in between San Diego and Anaheim, a little more to the east, is where Jim's going to be hosting it. So that's coming up June 7th to 9th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So top 80 players in the world, two, I guess it's the top two country exemptions. And then, the top women's player in the world, the European champion goes in, and probably the national champion too. So that makes up three of the 80 spots. Country exemptions get two per country, and then they filled out based on where you were ranked. And
Okay.
luckily enough, at the end of last year, for the second year in a row, I was the top Canadian, so I got a country exemption.
Good.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So you've started, as you said, Pinball Profile back in 2016 with Steve Ritchie.
Yeah.
Did you ever think the community would grow as large as it has in just what, 6 years, 7 years?
Well,
Or do you think it
I'm
has? I mean,
I
what do you think?
it I know how I was hooked immediately by, when I see a lineup like you've got there at Wormhole, and when I went to my first ever league, and I saw a collection, a home collection that was rather big, and I was in awe, and then my world was opened up that, oh, this is happening everywhere. I went to the Canadian, I guess it was the Canadian Pinball Championships, was the first ever tournament I went to. And they had a classics in the main, and I was successful enough to make the playoffs in both. So I thought, oh, maybe I'm kind of good at this. First of all, I have fun. Whether I'm good or not, it doesn't matter. As long as you have fun, it matters. I was having fun and having success. And then people would tell me about other things like Pinburg. So I think Pinburg was my second ever tournament.
Wow.
And, I qualified in A to the second day of A. And I was like, okay, maybe I've got something here. And then you just found out more and more about it. So I think, as the games got better, as one of the biggest game changers in pinball, Stern was obviously keeping pinball alive in, the dark ages, if you will, when arcades died, all the other arcade companies or pinball companies kind of went by the wayside. They kept it alive, and then Jersey Jack came in and gave us Wizard of Oz and said, here's what else pinball can be. And
Right.
you've got this big display, and you've got all the stuff under the glass, and just a crazy build. And that's wonderful. And then I think that in turn went to Stern. When they were the only cat in town, you put out what you put out. You put out games like Iron Man, great game, but not exactly a lot there to see, but still a great game. And then Jersey Jack goes, well, here's all this. And so Stern probably had to step up the game a little bit, and it took a few years. It really wasn't until, I'd say, Batman 66, when Stern went, okay, yeah, we got to add this screen, we got to add more toys and mechs. And so now you got Stern, you got that, you've got Spooky, you've got American, you've got Haggis, you've got Chicago Gaming, Multimorphic, and so many more. Turner there is also
Yeah,
one
we have
that's
barrels of fun.
Barrels of Fun. Oh, but you know what, there's my David Van Ness Barrels of Fun card right there. David's a wonderful guy, and I know
Absolutely.
how closely is there. What a great game. So you've got companies that can make games. You've got companies that have good business models that, we all can't be Stern. Pinball's kind of like, Stern is Coca-Cola, if you will. And I say that being a Pepsi loyal fan.
I'm
Anyway,
a
Stern is
Diet Coke
Coca-Cola,
fan.
but there is no other Pepsi until Jersey Jack came in and went, okay,
Right.
we can kind of cut in. Everybody else was Mr. Pibbs. I don't know if you like Mr.
Yeah, no, we had, yeah, they have it
Pibbs.
here.
But I'm just saying, everyone had a business model where, like, okay, like Spooky was the one that kind of really, I think, change things in a way that we don't have to sell thousands of games. We're going to sell whatever, how many hundred for America's Most Haunted and then Rob Zombie, and then they just keep going. And now they're doing double launches with Halloween Ultraman. They're doing Scooby-Doo and Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and they figured it out. Haggis is doing it with their Bally remakes,
And you're
and
getting a Centaur, aren't you?
I am getting a Centaur. Yeah, that's
A
right.
Centaur.
You've been listening. I'm looking forward to that, and I'm in no hurry. I realize it's a slow build for Haggis, but I'd rather them take their time, get it right, as they have with Fathom, which is gorgeous. Celts is a fun game too. So I've always liked Centaur. I've always wanted a Centaur. Instead of buying a 40-year-old machine, I thought I'm going to buy a brand new machine with the company to back up the parts and any kind of issues that you have that you want when you're investing that much money. And now I get new code from my good friend Marty Robbins, who I do final round with. I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah.
So yeah, looking forward to it.
No, but it's interesting. I mean, you think about this past weekend on Indisc, and you did a great job, of course, not only commentating, but I love you on the post game interviews, if you will. Like,
Thanks.
sideline reporter post game. I love that.
Can I just jump in? I get a kick out of doing those too, and I do it with Emoto Harney, who's wonderful. People
Right.
know Moto from obviously Marco Pinball and what she does in Alabama at her own arcade. But we kind of for the those interviews are afterwards are live. They're done, and you get one take, and hopefully you don't screw it up. So when we get done, I turn off the mic and she's like, "Thanks." I'm like, "Thank you." And I say, "You realize most TV people have teleprompters, and you can see their eyes kind of going back and forth to read the teleprompter.
Right.
I'm doing it off the seat of my pants and hopefully not trying to screw things up, but you do screw up. Like one, I don't know if you caught it or not, but Anna Neal, who I've known for years, and I watch her stream on Hot Nudge. I said, coming up next, the high stakes with Steve Bowden, and I think Yasmin was in there, and I said, and Anna Neal from Hot Fudge,
Yeah.
and it's Hot Nudge, and I didn't even think about it till afterwards, and someone told me, I'm like, oh, I go, well, it's live, and I was listening to disco before, and I was listening to probably Hot Fudge the band, so
Wow.
screw ups happen. That's what are you gonna
Sure.
do?
But I
What are
mean,
you?
14,000 people.
Yeah, there's a guy named Pluto who's a
Yeah,
Twitch partner
right.
manager, and he is really passionate into pinball. Kind of caught the bug last year. You talk about the growth of pinball.
Sure.
It's people like this, like, oh wow, I didn't know this existed, and oh my gosh, it's not video games and patterns and downloadable characters and this and that. It's physical. It's different every game. It's skill based.
Yeah.
There is a luck factor, but it's certainly not the primary thing. And I think he just fell in love with it. So yeah, plus it's IE pinball, right? You know from
Right.
work,
There,
but
yeah. Come on, he's
yeah.
the goat.
When we
So,
talk about Stern being the Coca-Cola of pinball, IE pinball is the Coca-Cola of
and I'm
gaming.
interviewing him next week. Once he gets better, I'm
Yeah.
interviewing him. I'm gonna pick his brain as much as humanly possible. And I just think, it's so fantastic for someone like him and what Fox City does and JDL Pinball and these great streamers, because I can't come into the stream game and stream these things down in Texas and not do try to do as good a job as they're doing, right? And
It's not even a it's not even a contest, Jamie. It's when you
oh, I
have
don't look at it that way. I just look
no.
at it as they're setting the bar.
That's that, and you know what? They're giving you a template of, oh wow, this works. This is successful, and then you add your own brand and personality to it. But yeah,
Sure.
it's great to have, like you say, JDL and what Jack Danger did, and IE Pinball, Fox Cities. They all do a great competition thing. So here you are, a relatively new guy, now only in your third year of doing this.
Right.
Seeing, okay, I guess that's how it's going to be done. So, yeah, it's funny because people, you're in the media, I'm in the media as far as, this pinball world. And I think people on the outside think there's competition. There isn't. They're like,
Yeah.
I have never cared one iota about being the best, being the most listened to, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. And most of my friends don't care either that are doing this like yourself. It's about doing the best I can do and doing something that I'm proud of. And I have to have fun doing it. And I do have fun doing it. But, people on the outside, like, oh, it's important for things like Twippies and awards. I could care less about stuff like that. It means nothing.
Yeah, it's nice to be recognized, once in a while.
Is
It can be. I'll spend $50 on a copay with my therapist, Jeff, talking about that with her. But I th it is it what I love about this place and I love about this community. You know the joke, how do you know someone's into CrossFit? They
No.
open their mouth, they talk to you, right?
Okay.
So you know how it's the same as pinball, right? I think it's the same as pinball. I think we're like vegans. Like it, within 3 minutes of talking to me, I'm going to tell you how much I love pinball. All
Yeah.
right. And I'm going to tell, and you're going to see the passion in my face. And
Yep.
I think that's what's so great about people like you and, our other content creators is there's a passion for this hobby sport and, the competitiveness of the sport. Because I think it's a sport. I really do. I think competitive pinball, without question, is a sport and it's hard.
Pinball itself is a game, but the competitions are the sport. That's the difference.
Absolutely.
So you're
Absolutely.
right. But yeah, I mean, we do this for fun. I mean,
Yeah.
we all want everyone to succeed. And I say that, like, if any of those pinball companies I mentioned earlier fail, it's kind of a failure for everyone else. I mean, but that being said, it also makes pinball companies have to do better. And okay, we missed the mark on this. We have to improve on such
Sure.
and such. But it's the same for streamers, the
Yeah.
same for video content makers and podcasts. We do it because we have our own take on it, whether it's all subjective, right? It's like art, and we have fun doing it. But we're all buds here. Like I was wearing this earlier. My good friends at Loser Kid.
Yeah, they're good podcasts. I
They're
enjoy
great
listening to them.
podcasters, and you just mentioned all the streamers and stuff, and I absorb it all. So when you say, again, back to your original question, do you think this would ever grow? Well, look at the passion of people, whether
Yeah.
it's any of these content creators. Look at how you've just kind of exploded in the last few years with, doing these competitive streams like this weekend for States or Texas Pinball Festival, your regular Monday Night Wormhole Fun. We do it because it's fun.
Yeah, well, we're certainly not making any money doing this part of it. Well, some of us are, but not me. I just do it because it's just a passion of mine. And, I've told this story multiple times, but I wanted to be a broadcaster like you are. Okay. I went to school for broadcasting. This is what I wanted to do. And the stupid school canceled the damn program. And so it was either leave this girl, right? Okay. Or go into business and do HR. And that's what I've done. So this just tickles my little thing that I did, the little part of me that said, well, boy, you always wanted to do this, man, right?
Somebody's going to cut that out because you are on Wormhole and say,
Oh,
"This
that's
tickles
true.
my little thing,"
Oh, I
and that'll
know.
be the clip. I'm just telling
Wow.
you right
Yeah, that's true.
now. But okay, I have been in radio for
Yeah, 30 years.
30 years, and when I first got into it, like you wanting to take that course, I wanted to be the long-haired Led Zeppelin playing rock jock and stuff, and crack jokes and entertain people and all that stuff. That didn't last long because once I got into it, I was like, there's a lineup of people behind me that are probably A, better than me, and B, that will do it for less money. So everybody wants to be that whatever on-air person, I think, when they first get into it. But I realized quickly, if I can share a quick story,
Oh, please.
I used to come up with these ideas and I would say them to the salespeople. And I'd say, you should sell this. Here's what we can do on air, a contest, let's say. And the salespeople would, like, their eyes would come out of their head and they would go, "Oh my God, let me make some phone calls," or fax machines back in the day. And within an hour, they'd come back and say, "Hey, Jeff, thanks. I just sold a $10,000 deal. Come on, I'm taking you to lunch." I was like, "Oh, good for me. I got a free lunch." I remember it very well. My friend Barb sold this package. She took me to lunch, and then after lunch, she said, "Thanks again for coming up with that idea. My client's really happy. We made some money. I'm just going to bugger off and go to the cottage for the weekend." And I said, "Okay, well, thanks again for lunch." She drove off in her nice sports car to her cottage. I got my crappy K car to my rental apartment, and I went, "Wait a second. That was my idea. If I can come up with that stuff, why am I not in sales?" And that's when the light went off. I was 29 years old, and I went, "This on-air thing is, it's cool to get it, concerts and and t-shirts
Sure.
and that kind of stuff. It doesn't pay the bills. And doing the sales aspect in radio, which I've done for 25 years, has afforded me to be able to, get some games, go to tournaments like Texas, and do what I want to do. You work to live, so to speak, right? You work to be able to provide for your family and do the things you want to do. So I made that switch and that epiphany really almost 25 years ago on radio, and podcasting gives me the urge I had in my 20s when I still kind of want to be on air, but I want to do my thing, and I get to do my thing. I get to talk to people like yourself and travel and go do these events like Indisc and other things, and I'm filling that need, and it's not about financial. It's about just the fun part that you and I have.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. It's a good. I still wanted to do it. I still. It's another $50 with my therapist, but there's just no regrets. I was on a podcast, a soccer podcast, and then prior to the, I've always been my kids' announcers, so I've always done these stupid things, and my kids played lacrosse, and I'm sure you guys play box lacrosse up there, but.
Believe it or not, hockey and lacrosse are the two national
Yeah,
sports.
no, I know that. I know that very, very well because
I've played neither, ever.
my kids played lacrosse and I played soccer and golf. I was a golfer, whatever. So you're a sport nut, though, right?
So,
Because I'm a sport nut, and
yeah.
very few of us in this community are sport nuts. So every time I talk sports, I could hear the people leaving our stream, but that's okay. We can do this for a little bit. You
Good
travel.
on
You travel throughout the United States to some stadiums. What, first of all, what team do you support?
Okay, if I have to pick one team, being in Canada, I'm going to pick the Blue Jays, right?
Okay.
But that being said, and I'll go to different events, and I'm at Pintastic and I'll be wearing my Boston hat. I'll go to Pinburg and I'll be wearing my Pittsburgh hat. I have all the hats.
Okay. You're never going to see me wearing a Boston hat. I can guarantee you that. As a Yankee fan, it's just, I can't do it. I can't do it.
The only reason I wore it last year at Pintastic is because they were behind the Blue Jays. If they were ahead of the Blue Jays, I don't wear that. But that being said, I because of the radio aspect of my job, one of my favorite parts of the radio job is that I actually get to cover Major League Baseball. And even though you think, oh my God, this guy's pinball, 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 pinball's like my girlfriend. I'm married to baseball. I
Yeah.
love, love, love baseball. And so
So I
I.
have a massive passion for baseball. My father is a nut baseball player. He was a good ball player, and they were Long Islanders, so they were he was a Brooklyn Dodger fan. And then obviously they move, and he would still listen to Lynn at night, and he would go to bed listening to them at night. And so then it Mets. So most of Long Islanders are Met fans. Mets, Jets, Islanders would be the three that you would follow next, right? So I, being the pain in the ass kid, was a Yankee fan because my parents, my mother's Puerto Rican and lived in the Bronx. And so I would go once a month to Yankee Stadium. And I just fell in love with the cathedral that was Yankee and
Old Yankee Stadium.
old Yankee. I don't mind new Yankee. But it's not old Yankee Stadium for sure.
It's one of my least favorite. The new one is one of my least favorite ballparks, and I've been to Oakland.
Really?
It's
Over
not.
Oakland?
Oakland has terrible seating. It
Yeah.
doesn't matter to me. I'm in the media booth, so I don't really care
Oh,
about that.
yeah.
It's got crazy foul lines. It was a football stadium they tried to do. They don't ever do that anymore. It's
Right.
baseball only. Like the only one that's still like that is. Actually, the Rogers Sky Dump, the Sky Dome, the Rogers Center, was used as a multi-purpose thing. But baseball-only stadiums are great. New York, the Yankee Stadium is just too. It's too corporate. It's too
Oh, I
stuffy.
know.
It's not. And again, I'm comparing it to the old, house that Rudy
Sure.
owned, and that place was just spectacular. And it doesn't capture the same feel, even though
No.
it's the exact same area across the street from where the old one was. It just doesn't do it
Maybe
for me.
that's why they've only won one.
They keep signing guys like Jacob Ellsbury to stupid contracts and
That was a good one. That was a good one. That Giambi was a good one. There's a lot of them to share.
it's funny they got a lot of guys who were juicers and stuff, and when the juice ran out, their bodies seemed to break down, didn't they?
It sure did. Xiaomi couldn't see, remember?
But again, it's not a it, they can afford to do it. They've got the Yes Network that, sorry, sports fan.
Oh,
They
I
got the Yes
know.
Network that's got the money to back them up.
Yeah.
So they just cut the check and they get a lot of bad 3 4 years back ends of the deals, and they're going to suffer with Stanton for another 4 years. And that Judge deal, yeah, he was the MVP when he did it. You're going to hate the last 4 or 5 years of that deal.
No, but I mean, I've been through this before. It's just,
Yep.
I've seen
But
this.
you're in Houston, for God's sakes. I mean, like, they've had such a great team, whatever you
They
think about.
do. They do. I'm not going to leave a lifelong Yankee because of Houston. The trash cans and all the crap that they did to my team. And so
Still a
now,
great team, and they proved
still a
it.
great team.
They proved it. They're always gonna, people aren't gonna shake that rap, but they proved it by winning it with Dusty a few years ago, and have been there all the time and keep replenishing that team, and
Great sports town, Houston. They, if you're winning,
yeah. Well, you
it
got
is a.
the, I don't know when this airs, but the Texans have a big game. They're gonna be
Oh,
up
yeah.
against the
I'm gonna
Ravens this
put this up
week.
tomorrow, actually.
Okay, so
The third.
the Ravens are tough to beat, but
Yeah.
we'll see.
All right, no more sports because we're losing.
Nah, who cares? No one was watching me anyway.
I. That's true. That's true. Someone told me you're a big rock and roll guy.
So I think that's why I wanted to get into radio, is because I just absolutely love music
Yeah.
beyond belief, right? You can see the Zap Machine, and
No, I mean I.
there's Rush, there's AC/DC over there, and I think down over my left shoulder, over my left shoulder, there's a nice Foo Fighters poster from when they played in Toronto, and I like the rock games a lot. But I can, it's funny, we were just talking about this on Final Round with Marty. They're hit and miss as far as,
Yeah.
I think Rush is a spectacular game, but I know when it comes to the band Rush, people love Rush or absolutely hate Rush. There's not a lot of middle ground.
Not on Rush.
Because of Getty's voice, it's like Neil
Yeah.
Young, it's like Bob Dylan.
That's
So
right.
if you can't get past that, you
Yeah.
probably don't want to play the game, right?
No, because he's blaring in your ear every ball.
When Iron Maiden
Like,
came out, that game was like, oh my God, look at this game. But a lot of people weren't big Maiden fans. Neil McRae of the UK changed his game to Disco Maiden, which is fun as hell to play, by the way. I know a lot of people like, or even Metallica, which is a little more mainstream, and but people changed all the music because they didn't want to hear it. But the game's great.
yeah, I mean, is there a off the wall band that you think deserves a pin, maybe? Or
Band
maybe
deserve an off the wall one that deserves one.
or that you'd like to see.
Well, sadly, it just got made last year, and sadly, it's not well received. Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
So, Spinal Tap is my all-time favorite movie. In fact, when you go to
Sure.
TPF, you would see the remade Flash Gordon that the person did with Spinal Tap, and it was fun as heck to play. But the home pin version is just kind of it doesn't seem to grab me a little bit, but. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's time for maybe some sort of female icon to have a pinball machine. I can't believe somebody like Madonna or Lady Gaga. Maybe not Lady Gaga, still too new, but I mean, lots of fans. The problem with doing younger bands is the fans of the band probably don't have the income to spend
Right.
$10,000 on a pinball machine. So that's why we keep seeing classic rock
Yeah.
ones, because these fans are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and probably have a little more disposable income, right? They're
Yeah.
past the rental apartments and K
That's
card.
exactly why, right? I mean, that's exactly why. I mean, you're not going to see a Beyonce pin, which would be really cool. All the single ladies multi-ball, it could be really funny, but and fun, but
You're in H Town there.
they love her here.
Listen, Beyonce, you ask my wife Ann. I hate using this term. I'm not trying to be sexist by any mean. It's
No.
more of, it's a joke when I say this. The freebie is B. A B is like my all-time favorite. Like, just and my wife goes, she's playing in Toronto this summer. Do you want to go to the concert? I go, I don't want to listen to her. I want to.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
I love
Yeah, she's
Beyonce.
fantastic. But I mean, I don't know. I told this story once before, and so every time I tell a story more than once, I get a bunch of IMs telling me to stop telling it, but I'm going to tell one more. So Wolfgang Van Halen's birthday party here at the Wormhole. I
Oh,
grab
wow.
so I'm they walk in with Mark Tremonti. Mark Tremonti is the one that set that up.
Nice.
So and your boy Mark. And Wolfie walks in with his mom, Valerie, and they're blown away. And Valerie only wanted to play the old time games. So we had a Beatles here at the time, and we had she was dying. Her first pinball machine that she owned was a Captain Fantastic. And she bought it very early in her career.
Yeah.
And her manager told her, "What are you crazy? You can't own a pinball machine." She's like, "I can do whatever I want." And she bought a Captain Fantastic. But anyway, I said
That's
to
cool.
Wolfie, I said, "Hey, why is there not a Van Halen pinball machine, man? What's going on over here?" And he said, "Too many lead singers."
That's it. What
That's
do
it.
you, that's it. How do
Because I can't, he goes, "We don't control all the songs, the family. So we've had too many lead singers, and we can't get all the rights. It's impossible. It'll never happen." So that's sad.
it is tough, I it's too bad. I don't even know how you would do that because is it going to be a Sammy one? Is it going to be a David one? I
I think you
mean,
could have like the rotating singer, right? You could even put the guy from Extreme. He was on there for a little bit, and then he,
geez, Gary Cherone.
yeah. Just there's a new lead singer. You hit the spinner. It's got a lead singer spinner. No, I mean, I don't know how you would do it, but
No, for rock
it
games,
never happened.
Zeppelin was the one I was always hoping they would make, and I love the code of the game and stuff. It's not the most fun game, but it's actually a great competition game.
So Tim owns a Zeppelin,
Yeah.
and he lets me house one of his. He's got 173 machines. Okay. I mean, Jiminy Christmas, right? So he can let me house one or two occasionally, and he does. He's very kind with his collection to me,
Wow.
especially. So I was just housing Mandalorian because I suck at it, and I wanted work on Mandalorian. And now I GC'd the thing because I'm 2000 in the world, not 43rd like you are. So there's a difference there. But I need work on Stern machines. That's
So you got a good point there, and Carlos De La Serta gave me great advice because we were talking about games. I gave him a list of games I don't really like playing, and he said when he goes to an event and he sees them in the lineup, those are the first games he plays just to
Yeah.
get, okay, now I know the shots at least, and it's I he kind of deflate that negative feeling a little bit and maybe have some success on it. Like, okay, I'm okay to play such and such games. So
Well, do you ever walk up to a machine competitively and you're playing other partners, and maybe you see them and they're not doing the things they should be doing, right? And you're going, okay. Not that I'm going to beat them but they just don't know. And what's really wild about this community is at the end of the night, they're going to come up to you and they're going to go, "Hey, dude, do you see these drop targets, these targets at the end for Mandalorian? That's everything about this game. You've got to get your multipliers up, then start a mode, and then do your multi-ball, and you're going to print points, right?" And I
yeah.
didn't know that. I had no idea. So I'm done with Mandalorian, and now I'm switching, and I'm putting in Led Zeppelin in my house because that's a game that I want more time on. And when I see it at a tournament, I just panic. I'm like, I'm never going to get 20 million. I stink at it.
Is it a pro or a premium?
It's an Ellie.
It's an LE, so that's what that is.
Yeah.
I actually prefer the pro to the LE and the premium.
Because
And
you
I'll
don't
tell
like
you.
the thing that comes up.
The electric magic. I've had mine disabled for 2.5 years, so I basically make it like a pro.
Okay.
And
Why did you do that?
the reason why is because to be successful at Led Zeppelin, it is all about hitting combos. It's not about hitting drop targets or starting multi-ball or anything. It's all about how many combos can you make, and
Hard to
how.
hit combos with magic
When
coming in.
that comes up, it kills it because it will. If it, depending on what flipper you're in, it'll shoot. Maybe either a drop target or the Icarus stand up, and the Icarus stand up starts your playfield multiplier. You don't want to start that until you're in a multi ball, until
Okay.
you're deep into a song, and until you've built up enough combos. My record on that thing is I've had a playfield multiplier of 130.9 times playfield. So think of how much every jackpot was worth.
Oh,
So
it's monks.
you can't do that if you're always hitting the Icarus target. So you never want to hit Icarus. You just want to hit combos until you're ready to, okay, let's cash it in now. And then just every shot is like doubling your score or whatever. You know, it's increasing certainly exponentially.
It's just a pin I want more time on, and he's very generous in letting me do it, and I geek out. Plus, I love the music, right? I'm such a Zeppelin nut that I just want to listen to it all day, every day.
Well, Tim Hood's a good guy there, and obviously what he's doing at Wormhole. That's interesting you say that because the games I have bought in the recent years, I purchased because I thought I'm never going to learn them unless I own them.
Right.
Like
Yeah,
I,
so you can house them until you could really delve into that code, right?
yep. So Rush would be a perfect example. If you are just going up to Rush once in a while in an arcade or in a competition, you're probably going to lose, even if you're great. Because if you don't know what to do in that game, you're in trouble.
I'm
What the weapon does. And that is a compliment and a concern. A compliment because the code is deep and it has all this stuff. But the concern is the game isn't very intuitive. And games like that, if you have to own the game to figure it out, Zeppelin would be like that. It doesn't really tell you what to do and how to do it. I mean, we were just talking about Zeppelin and the combos. You're like, oh, okay, I guess that's it. That is it. But if you don't own it, you don't know it. And
Yeah.
watched, you know, the 1, 2, 3 combos and the weapon button and everything else. It really, I would never be able to play Rush if I didn't own it first. So, or have a lot of time. So there are a lot of games like that. You know, I think Foo Fighters took me a while and I don't
Foo
own it.
Fighters still takes me a while.
I played a lot on Friday night. So now I, you know, not, I certainly don't own it, but now I've had enough time that, okay, I get it. And, you know, I'm sure it'll be like that with Jaws. There are some games that like, Teenage Turtles, I don't really get yet. I have to get more time on it. Star Wars would be another one. I need more time to,
I need more time on Star Wars. I need more time on Batman 66. And I played the hell out of it last night. And do you know Batman 66, your fourth character in the world. So I was fooling around with the bookworm freeze thing last night. And
Bookworm's
that,
good.
you know, people like it. And they like that move instead of going right away to the double multi, you know, the two ball multi ball guy, whatever his name is. I don't
So games like Batman 66, you know, if you pick Shame, you get the two ball multiplier, but
That's it.
you're not getting a lot of points. Bookworm kind of, okay, well, this is kind of carries over, so that's a good ball one strat. It's kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, in a competition, people might pick Quill's Quest first, which is an instant two ball multiple, but you're
Right.
not
That's what
making
I
any.
always do because I don't know what the game on how I'm doing.
You're making shots, and maybe you're getting shot multipliers, but you're making zero progress on Groot or Orb multiball. So you, that's fine to do that to get a feel of shots, but when that ends, you got to get back into the scoop, start another mode, and basically you're starting over. So I like Quill's Quest, maybe in ball two or ball three, once I've got some multi balls and shot multipliers and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, again, that's another game. Until I owned it, I didn't really, you know, you could go, oh, I'm just going to get group multi ball, but
Yeah,
there's other strats.
Groot, orb,
That's
whatever.
it.
You know, jumping to Indisc again real quick. I interviewed Dalton the other day,
Oh,
and
nice.
what a sweetheart of a human being,
Yeah.
kid.
He's.
He shared with me the Pinball Monk story. Are you familiar with this, with the story?
Well, I wasn't until Indisc, and for those that don't know,
Yeah,
you know,
please.
when he won the $15,000 high stakes tournament to end Indisc on Sunday night, there's been great media coverage for it and well deserved for what he does in Georgia. He mentioned that it was his first Indisc, and he gave a big thanks to Pin Monk for making it possible for him to be at Indisc because it's expensive, and Pin Monk was a big reason that Dalton was even able to be there. So yeah, shout out to Pin Monk for sure.
I mean, paid his way into the high stakes, came up to him and said, "I have a feeling that you're gonna do something." And just it gave me chills. And is he as sweet as he is in person? I haven't met him. Is he?
Yeah, he's a I mean, I get such a kick out of his cartoons. He posted one today
Yeah, he does.
talking about his F-14 and Batman Forever. That really, he legitimately got screwed on. He could have actually been in the finals of
Oh,
Indisc.
really?
of the Open, but Batman Forever, he hit the side super jackpot and it didn't register, and he's playing, he's like, come on. And unfortunately that screwed a lot of people, but it was the worst possible time for Dalton. He's an excitable young guy for sure. I think with I've noticed this with great players and stuff, and he is one of the best, is some of the locals, anybody, this is not Dalton, this is anybody, there's some little bit of resentment, like, oh, Dalton's gonna win, or oh, Wood's gonna win in Colorado, or who, name whoever, right? Jack there in Houston, who's another wonderful young guy. I had a great time.
Do
You're
you, did you
Jack.
get a chance to meet him?
Jack, I met, I think the first time was at Houston Space City Open
Okay.
in 2019,
Yeah, you
and
kid. You kid.
I think he was there with his dad, and I actually got a picture of the two of them holding up a sign saying Jeff Peel's for IFPA president. It was really funny. But I saw Jack, who was at his first Indisc, and he's a young guy and he's traveling to Indisc on his own and stuff, and we had a great chat. We played a dollar game afterwards, and I'm proud to say he's $1 poorer thanks to what was it, Stargazer. But Jack's like way better. Jack's such a good, that the sky's the roof for him. And again, back to
I
Dalton,
agree.
great young guy, and the sky's the limit. They're just getting started. They got 30 years of great pinball ahead of them.
You know, I love the fact that we have all these young kids playing this sport.
Do
And
you? Because I used to, and then I thought, well, they're the ones beating me, so I think
I'm
we
no
should,
good, so it doesn't matter to
get them
me.
out of here. Beat it, kid.
I'm good at this. I'll commentate all day. I don't have to, as long as I know the game and know what you guys are doing, I'm in good shape. I just can't.
I'm the exact same with you. I love seeing the, again, back to your original question, the explosion of pinball. I love seeing the expansion with young people, probably the most, and also with women too, is because pinball really is for everyone, and they're becoming more accessible and stuff. More arcades are popping up again. Home collection certainly is the dominant part of the pinball scene, but when you've got places like Wormhole and all the places across North America and the world, it's coming back, and it's not just nostalgia. I think they're still a long ways away from competing with video game consoles and esports, and it'll never be that because it's just too expensive. But it's a little more fun in a sense. It's just, if someone were going to spend $10,000 on a pinball machine or $10,000 on every possible video game, they're probably going to pick the video games, right? But there's something cool about Valerie Bertinelli or anybody owning a pinball machine. It's like, yeah, you
I
can
know.
do it. And the great thing about it versus video games, when you buy a video game and you buy the brand new MLB 24, the show, that's great. You spent your $90 or whatever it is to buy the thing. In 6 months, that thing might be worth $20 if it's even transferable, because it's probably a downloadable thing.
That's right.
Buy a pinball machine, you don't lose money on it. In fact, it probably makes money. So that's the one thing pinball has over video games.
Well, so let's real quick get you on the traveling. You said you were traveling tremendously for pinball. What is on tap for you this year in 2024 for traveling?
It's on a different computer. I could go find out, but I do know I've got I'm debating. I think I have a conflict, but I really want to go back to Pintastic in the Boston area. I actually look at where baseball teams are playing, and
Awesome. I would do the same thing.
if baseball teams are playing and there's a tournament going on, I'm like, I might find a way there. So that one, the Red Sox are there in mid-April. I missed pinball at the Zoo in Michigan last year. I'm going to do that in April. May, I just talked to Levy about when is Allentown, because that was fun in the Philly area. June is crazy big because of Yegpin in Alberta, Canada's biggest tournament. It's kind of a match play Pinburg like tournament. And then of course Pinburg itself is coming back, and
Right, which was a great interview. I loved it. And
well, yeah, maybe.
maybe you get in.
Leave some Pinburg excitement right there at Wormhole. Who knows?
Who knows?
I roll my eyes. Who knows? Anyway, so that's late July. I run a massive tournament called The Beast in Buffalo, New York at Pocketeer Billiards. And we had great success. In fact, after next year, it'll be a regular part of the Stern Pro Circuit if that remains at 20.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because of that. So
Congratulations.
there's that. And then I've got Chicago a couple of times. I missed pre-play Florida last year. If it goes back to Orlando, I'd like to hit that. And again, that World Championships thing in June. So busy
Awesome.
schedule.
That's very, very busy schedule. And I'm going to add something on your 2025 list, okay?
Okay.
We're shutting this down. We are building a museum here in downtown Houston, about as a crow flies, maybe 15 miles from here.
Wow.
We're going to be using Tim's collection. They bought a building about 13, 14,000 square feet. It's going to fit
Oh.
about 125 beautiful pins, some that no one has ever played. And he just bought 60 pins from Europe. So they're an Io Moon. I'll throw out some other crazy things that no one has heard about. And so I think that we're pushing for 2025, October of 2025. That's going to be our big Bayou Bash. And I would love for you to be there, if at ever possible,
Oh, for sure.
for
So
that.
I've only been to Houston a couple times. I've been there about 3 or 4 times, but most of those times are just at the airport to transfer on to wherever I was
Sure.
going next. But I did spend extended time there at the Space City Open in 2019, and I had a great time. And I just wish, beg, oh my God, have an event sometime between April and October so I can come and see one of the only four parks I haven't seen in the
Oh, I'll take
former
you to Minute Maid.
Enron Field or Minute Maid
Enron Field,
Park or.
sure. I'll take you there. I've been there. I go all the time. And I love the park. You'll actually really like the park. It's nice, very open.
I
Weird.
drove by it, but there was nothing was
Oh
happening
yeah,
late November. So,
they got rid of the stupid hill, Jeff, that was in center
in
left.
center field, as a former center fielder, and that's why I think why I like baseball is because I played for up until I was 44 years old, and then went into pinball. I can't imagine like just you're tracking a
I
fly
know.
ball, and all of a sudden you hit this thing like that. That's damage to your knees. You're probably going to wipe out. It was stupid.
It was stupid. Howes Hill, I think he was a former GM or whatever. Yeah.
Dumb, dumb.
It was dumb. It was absolutely dumb. Jeff, thank you so much. For those that want to get in touch with Jeff, obviously you can download Pinball Profile. They
Yeah, pinballprofile.com on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter at pinballprofile, pinballprofile@gmail.com. And yeah, we've got lots of good things coming up. So this airs tomorrow. You're going to be seeing my top 10 most intriguing people of 2023. I do it every year. And,
Oh, when is that going up?
This
Okay.
week. So
Well,
yeah.
that is awesome. I love that show. That's a really good show of yours. Thank you so much.
It's a real tip of the cap to people who've done some extraordinary things and eye-opening things, if you will. Some are obvious, some are not obvious, and the ones that aren't obvious, hopefully, you go, oh, let me find out more about that person.
No,
So.
it's great. I'm glad that you do that. It's really awesome. Of course, you can contact Wormhole at wormholepinball@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitch and YouTube and all the social media platforms. Real quick, my boy Donovan really busts his butt on these little videos and shorts that he does. And we're getting really tremendous amount of views on it. We're just not getting any thumbs up. Give the guy, throw him a bone, ladies and gentlemen. Give Donovan just give it a like. Help out
For
Donovan.
sure. Well, that's good. No, keep up the good work.
Thanks, man. I really
Thank you.
appreciate you. Thanks for doing this, Jeff. I really appreciate your time, and it was a great conversation, man. I appreciate it.
All the best, Jamie, and everyone there in Houston.
Thank you, sir, very much.